Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. Before we get into the show, I'm going to surprise Steve here.
I'm surprised.
It could quite possibly be the last show and the end of a friendship here. I'm very hungry at the moment because I've been eating salad, Steve.
Good man.
Welcome, Statesman. There's no meat involved. It's just salad. The old... I almost joined the 100 Club, and for those who don't know what the 100 Club is, it's when you get over 100 kilo. I was pushing the barrel, but I thought, nah, got to do something here. So I went salad, but I'm still drinking my beer.
I don't know what to say. When you want to become an elite anything, Jono, once you get to the barrier, you got to fight through it. And just power on. Look at me. Look at me. Look at all the good things that have happened to me.
And Adonis you are.
Hey, good things used to happen to me. I remember them. And they were when I was under 100 kilos.
That's it. I'm just gonna sit there, gonna stay on back to my 92 kilo, which I normally like. So, bit of salad for a week.
Do you know when I met Mrs. Fizz, I was 82 kilos.
I remember 82 kilos.
Oh, I'm 104 now.
I was 17.
That was 5 years ago.
But
you know what happened? Because I don't have
kids.
To try anymore. No, it wasn't.
Kids. Well, there's that, but I still like to keep under 100.
No, I don't. It's all over, buddy.
But I'm going to treat myself tonight. I've got jalapeno and cheese sausages for dinner, so back on that wagon.
110
no, straight away. Just looking at them. But big show today. We are talking our defender rankings through all the different formats of Dream Team, Supercoach, and Keeper rankings. But before we get to that, big congratulations to you, Statesman, ending up 32nd overall. 32nd?
It's not ending up.
I haven't finished. Overall, at the end of the home and away season for the Big Bash Fantasy League, and finish on top of the ladder undefeated. So well done to you, Statesman.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And I'm just only slightly into the 80 Club, if that really matters to you too. When you were 17, around about that 82 kgs. Enjoying my seafood and vegetables tonight. It was lovely. Now, yes, 32nd, although it's fair to say I don't think I've got much room over the finals to get much further than that. Obviously, we all knew about my disastrous captain's run, so that probably took me out of any chance for the running for the big prize. But no, it was great fun. My only drama with the finals now is when we're trying to order who's going to be in our finals, there were really no restrictions. So I think everyone in the finals can basically pick their best team. So
pretty much
finishing top of the ladder probably doesn't mean too much now.
It just means you've finished on top and you're going to choke in the finals and someone else will go on to glory.
Correct. Yeah, there's thankfully no Nick Riewoldt in the Big Bash Fantasy.
Brendan McCullum.
Bit of Rob equivalent. Quinney?
Yeah.
Is it Quinney?
Quiney.
Rob could
Quinney.
Be.
Rob Quinney action.
Bit of website progress update. We're close, Steve.
Whoa.
We are close. Spent 5 hours trying to add links to a certain part of the page.
So you found the any key.
And the tab. I ordered a tab too.
Boom.
So my brother, who is an IT guru, he will be sorted out to fix that problem. And a bit of tinkering, some testing. We should be up in the next week or so, I would imagine. So very close there, people. So,
do we have a domain for that?
Yes.
No, we've got it. Yeah,
yes.
It's sorted.
It's all sorted.
We'll release that.
We'll release it.
In due time.
But we have a review, Steve, this week.
We do. Another great review from all our listeners. I can't thank you enough for all the people who drop us a review on iTunes or, you know, you subscribe on SoundCloud or Stitcher or whatever. We've got Stitcher reviews, Jono.
Wow.
I didn't even know that they did them there.
No.
But they do. But anyway, this week's review comes in from Ninja Rob. He says, one of the only podcasts going around that discuss AFL draft fantasy. Great bunch of guys. Obviously talking about me and Statesman.
I'm not a good guy.
So glad I stumbled upon this pod. Great content on a regular basis. So
Thank you very much,
Ninja Rob.
And so glad you stumbled upon our podcast.
Absolutely. And if you want to be like Ninja Rob and drop us a review, they help more people find our podcast. We don't do this for the money. We
get paid? When did this happen?
We lose money on this, buddy. Probably not you so much as me, but we lose money on this.
Oh, no, I've got some
point. A review really helps us out so much. So if you're enjoying the pod and the content, please don't hesitate to drop us a review. It takes a couple minutes, and it means the world to us. Absolutely means the world.
Absolutely. A bit of news coming out today. The leadership group was announced at the Gold Coast Suns.
Oh, this is great news. Great news.
Mickey Barlow in there. Gaz was even at training today.
Out of the leadership
group. Out of the leadership group. Selling his house.
Don't draft him. Selling
his house on the Gold Coast as well. Is he even going to play this year? Or has he already been traded to Geelong? We're just waiting for the reveal.
I think he's just waiting for a mosquito to bite him. That's it.
Malaria. Come out. I'm done. But also, hype train people, David Swallow is tipped to play in the JLT series.
There's no hype train for David Swallow. The hype train is Mickey Barlow.
Mickey Barlow? No, everyone knows about Barlow.
I don't think they do, Jono.
You really?
Where did he get... Statesman, you...
I think you're right. Yes, I picked him up. Good question.
Because he has to win the mock draft.
Yeah, I have to win it. It's the competitive nature. I had a little play with the AFL Fantasy, and that's part of the news too. It's opening season. All the platforms are opening up, which is fantastic. But round 9, I picked up Michael Barlow at pick 82 in the draft today.
Round 9, people.
That is fantasy. Yeah. What value gold?
Would either of you argue with me that Mick Barlow has... I'm not saying it's likely, but I'm saying there is the upside that he finishes as a top 5 midfielder.
The upside is as high as the Rialto. It's huge.
He's my D3.
D?
D? M?
Oh, sorry. M3.
Man, I'd love him as a defender.
Yeah, bonus.
If you'd like to follow us on social media as well, we are on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or you can follow Statesman at Statesman33, and you can head over to our Facebook page as well, search The Draft Doctors, or you just shoot us an email, thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. But today we are talking defenders. We're going through our top 30 defenders in Supercoach Dream Team and keepers. Just going to have a bit of a chat about where we've put them and a few maybe slightly odd or out-of-place choices and just go from there.
Well, there's some slightly odd choices, buddy.
There certainly are.
Namely, you hosting this podcast, I've got to say. No,
Agreed.
Should we kick it off with the Dream Team rankings for the people?
We will kick it off with the Dream Team rankings for the people.
All right, so I'm going to start with my Dream Team top 30. And here's my top 10. There are tiers, people. As we always say, you draft in tiers. I've got mine personal ones. You don't have to agree. You can certainly
chop and change your own.
But this is my top 10 Dream Team defenders. Number 1, I've got Sam Doherty of the Carlton Blues, coming off a fantastic season, 22 games, 101 points. Number 2, I've got Taylor Adams. Number 3, I've got Heath Shaw. Number 4, I've got Cade Simpson. Number 5, I've got Lee Montagna. Number 6, I've got Rory Laird. Number 7, I've got Matthew Boyd. Number 8, I've got Hamish Hartlett. Number 9, I've got Jason Johannesson. Number 10, I've got Luke Hodge. Now, in that top 10, there's two tiers, Jono. The first one, Sam Doherty, Taylor Adams, cut off.
Yep.
They are the elite defenders for mine, and I certainly want one of those two gentlemen in my team. The next batch is Heath Shaw, Cade Simpson, Lee Montagna, and Rory Laird. Cut off, and I would certainly not hesitate to have one of those guys as the top defender in my team.
Yep.
Next batch, I'm not so sure I want one of those guys as my top defender. And that is Matthew Boyd, Hamish Hartlett, Jason Johannesson, and Luke Hodge. So I think we would all agree that the top two are pretty clear for your Dream Team formats.
Agreed.
You could shuffle them any way you want. Taylor Adams probably has the higher upside. Sam Doherty, I feel, is a little bit safer. So when we get into the second tier, Heath Shaw, that's the first time he's gone over 100. He's very boom bust,
yep.
Which is good and bad because it wins you weeks, but he's very replaceable other weeks, and you're not going to be able to tell which is which. When they win, he generally scores well, so he should be in store for a good season, but I'm a little bit sketchy.
Plus the tagging as well.
Well, he does get those tags, and that's what I mean, is when he gets tagged, he can really suffer. Cade Simpson obviously is a perennial mid-90s plus scorer, doesn't miss games. I feel he's very safe. I don't think he's going to repeat the 100, but I feel he's definitely going to get you 95. Which he's done his whole career. Now, we get down to number five, Lee Montagna. And the thing about Lee Montagna is last year he was listed as a forward.
Mm-hmm.
He's been moved to defence. He was playing the plus one role in defence. And he skulks around, racking up his touches. I think the move is good for him. He still pumped out hundreds when he moved to defence. He's a smart player. He's a good ball user. I think one of the things about it is when you're playing that loose man running around half back, it kind of mitigates the risk of injury. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You're kind of avoiding contests.
You're not bashing and crashing your body in the packs. And
you're certainly not. He's got a fantastic games played history, aside from two seasons ago when he missed a few matches. We noticed his average when he moved back. It really hurts Shane Savage.
Yep.
So he was certainly a preferred user out of defence. We can't speculate that that's how it's going to continue going forward. But the fact they did it later in the year leads me to believe that that's a move they want to make. So I've certainly got no objections to Lee Montagna in at number five. Would you guys have any thoughts on that?
No, well, I've got him in my second half of my top 10 as well. So I totally agree.
Yep. I have not quite as hot on him, and maybe it's the ages thing. He's gone past 32, so I'm starting to put a line through him. But a question that Bangers and Mash had just regards with your tiers, and I just want to, if you could, Steve, just talk about the application to it. So you had the tier of Adams and Doherty in your first tier. So if those two were gone by the time your draft pick was come around, but one of your forward tier one players were left, would that mean that you picked the forward rather than the defender?
So my defenders are gone.
So your tier one defenders are gone. There's one tier one forward left. So that mean you would say, no, I won't pick a defender. I'll actually go my tier one forward that's remaining.
If my defenders were both gone, I would assume there's still a tier one midfielder there.
Forward.
Which I always put an emphasis on midfielders because that is the area you need your most depth.
Of course.
Look, if my tier one midfielders were gone and my tier one defenders were gone, I would most likely choose a ruckman because that means I'm drafting out of the 9 or 10 hole, which means I would probably choose your Max Gawn or Brody Grundy, which I think are your clear top tier forwards. Top tier ruckman, as opposed to your Jack McRae, the gaggle of forwards that I think are there or thereabouts. I mean, so I know some people would argue Jack McRae is a clear top forward.
I don't think he is.
Well, but I think people would.
I'm
not going to argue with them. But I'm choosing in the 9 hole, I might draft Max Gawn, and then on the way back, assume I could choose a Jack McRae. Maybe I choose a midfielder then, but my tiering structure would dictate that I choose Jack McRae.
Yeah.
So I've got two of the top position players out of that situation. And look, we're going to talk more about the tiering, and we're certainly going to have an article coming out because we know a lot of people are very keen to learn more about it.
And when we do some mock drafts and recap, we can explain into more detail about the pick situation there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a way to find value in your draft and get more quality players and really not fall into traps.
Yep.
I think that's the big thing. Okay, so anyway, back to the defenders. Pick five was Lee Montagna, Rory Laird, Matthew Boyd. Matthew Boyd's an interesting one, I think, guys.
Mm.
We all expected him to sort of, as he enters the...
The twilight
of his... life expectancy. to start to get rested, but he ended up playing 20 home and away games, and of course, as he does, bangs out a pretty handy dream team average every single year. But I feel like a lot of that was due to him not him, but the Western Bulldogs having significant injuries across the halfback line.
Yep.
Like they had Robert Murphy with the ACL. Jason Johannesson obviously missed a number of weeks with the
hamstring.
The hamstring injury. So they were really scouting across the back line.
Marcus and Adams and the rest of the crew.
They had a lot of young guys back there, you know, and also Suckling missed time.
Yep.
So there was a lot of injuries across there. And I think Matty Boyd, it was more of a product of what the team needed from him more than the ideal circumstance. So if we knew Matty Boyd was going to play, if he was fit, he'd probably be the top defender.
Mm.
But he's at the start of my third tier because we know when he's on the park, he's going to bang out a great score for us. But I just don't trust the games played. I don't think he's going to play 20 games if everyone's fit and available. I think he'll probably play 17.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
And I think also one thing to consider with the Bulldogs is the midfielders, forwards are back in the team.
Yes.
They've got forwards back, which means the forward mids are probably back in the midfield, which means
it pushes everyone back down the line.
There's a bit of a squeeze. Okay, so I like Matthew Boyd. If he was my first defender, I'm okay with it, but I'm not choosing him early, you know, super early, I'll put it that way. So he's at the start of my third tier. So after Matty Boyd, we've got Hamish Hartlett. We know he's coming off a down year, but I think he can bounce back. Then Jason Johannesson, Luke Hodge. Anyway, moving into the 11 to 20 range, we've got... I've actually switched these boys. Sorry, just in the time we've had them. So at 11, I've got Bernie Vince. I kind of like Bernie Vince. Then I've got Basher Hooley. Then I've got Sean Burgoyne, who you know I'm keen on at 13. 14, I've got Zach Williams. 15, I've got Jake Lloyd of the Blues Brothers. 16, Cade Kolodziejczyk. 17, Jasper Pittard. 18, Grant Birchall. 19, I've also switcherooed that one. I've got Jared McVeigh. And 20, I've got Michael Hibberd. So let's kick it off at the start. Bernie Vince, man, since he's gone to Melbourne, it's been pretty handy.
Very handy.
Played at least 20 games, well, at least 21 games, sorry, in each of the three seasons since joining the D's, averaged 91, 92, and 95. The move to half back, I'm not sure it was a great success.
It was not, especially since you had all that emerging younger talent coming through there, and your Hunts, your Kents, and all that.
Yeah, see, I think you add in Michael Hibberd to that.
Michael Hibberd.
And I don't think there's a need for Bernie Vince to be back there. It wasn't really his kicking's not his strong suit where they want to launch attacks.
He kind of looked like a deer in the headlights at stage, didn't he?
So I like him to move up to the wing. I still think he can get to his 90 points.
But look, Dom Tyson's gone down with that knee injury after the Commander course, what they did. So he could slot back into that midfield role.
Well, if he slots back into the midfield, then he's obviously going to score pretty well.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a JLT watch at the moment, but I still really love him as a defender.
Yeah, I just think there's a bad taste in people's mouth with Bernie Vince.
He's not a sexy pick, is he?
He's a pretty hot dude.
I guess so.
Well, I don't know. Statesman, your pants are off.
No comment.
He's, I don't know. I'm kind of about Bernie Vince. I think, I'll put it this way, I think he's going to be someone's second defender, and I think they're going to be really happy with him.
Oh, be happy to have him as second defender.
So, he might even be someone's first defender. These are just my tiers.
Yeah.
So I certainly like Bernie Vince. Basher Hooley's a little bit of a different one. In at 12, I feel like Hooley is the sort of player who, if someone drafts a ruckman or a forward early, they're going to take him as their first defender. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like he sort of falls into this no man's land when you look at the way your roster's being constructed and you go, well, I've got a ruckman, I've got a forward, I've got a mid, I might need a defender. And I feel like you're just going to draft Basher Hooley, and I feel like that's a mistake. He's very boom-bust. 2 years ago, he had his best dream team season he's had. I'm not sure he's going to replicate that. I think what he did last year was pretty well what he is.
His ceiling, you think?
I think high 80s is what you're going to expect from Basher Hooley.
Yeah.
All right. See, the funny thing about Basher Hooley, when he went to Richmond between 2011 and 2014, he was averaging 3 rebound 50s a game.
Okay.
So they weren't exactly putting the ball in his hands.
No.
But he was doing what he does. Then between 2015 and 2016, 4.7. Okay. So to me, this says they had no other options. And I think that's part of the reason why they recruited Chris Yaren. This year they've got, and I really believe they're going to give every chance to Oleg Markov.
Yep.
I think there might be a move with Cochin to defense.
Interesting.
Which people might say is crackers, but when you look at the midfielders they've brought in, I'm not sure there's a need for Cochin to be forward of the ball so much as there is a need for him to be behind the ball. I like him, but does he go back to being a 90-plus averaging defender? I don't think that he does. So I take him as my second defender because of the boom-bust factor, and he's going to win me some weeks, but I think he's going to cost me. If he's my second defender, he doesn't cost me as much.
Yeah.
That's what I would imagine with Bashahuli.
No, I'm spot on. I totally agree with you. Certainly wouldn't be comfortable if he was my D1.
Starting off the 21 to 30 range, we've got James Kelly.
Interesting pick.
Who averaged 99 last year, played 20 games. Obviously, wow, what a renaissance season for James Kelly. But, man, I'm really, really worried about the amount of games played and, to an extent, the game style that Essendon are going to play.
So you're putting him in the same sort of bracket as Matthew Boyd, not going to get the game style and feeding him the pill, or...?
Well, I don't think... Look, he averaged a career-high marks and a career-high possessions. Obviously, with Essendon chipping around, maintaining possession of the ball, I don't think that's going to happen. That's not James Kelly's wheelhouse.
No.
Look, he's a huge preseason watch. He could even slide further. He's certainly not going up for me. I'm pretty comfortable here. If he's my third defender, I'm okay with that. I think he'll play at a stretch, 17 games. I don't know if he'll travel.
No.
But when he plays, he's probably going to score you 86 average.
That's handy.
Which I'm pretty happy with. It's certainly above your Grant Birchall's, your Michael Hibbard's on a per game basis, but I just worry that he's going to find the games. He's always been a fantastic tackler. He's always managed to find the ball. He's a smart footballer. He wouldn't have signed on if he didn't think he had something to offer the team. So I don't have too much of a problem with James Kelly. Number 22, I've got Brody Smith. Number 23, I've got Matt... This is the start of a new tier, mind you. I've got Matt Suckling, who... I don't love...
Achilles and... Ooh.
I just worry where he fits into the team.
Yeah, I can see him being one of those ones getting dropped.
That's the problem. He's there anyway. 24, I've got Josh Gibson. 25, I've got Callum Mills. Obviously, we like the upside of Callum Mills. 26, I've got Jeremy Howe, which is down, you know, played 20 games and 82 points, but that's a bit of a career high for old Jay Howe. And we don't know whether he's going to play back or forward. So to me, he's a bit of a preseason watch. Number 27, I got Jamie McMillan. I really like Jamie McMillan. Played the 22 games, 73 average. Has a lot high ceiling.
And a lot of upside. Coming off that injury, was it 2015? 14.
This is a team who's added Marley Williams as a lockdown defender. They've got rid of Brad McKenzie. They've got rid of Nick Nelsando. I can
Ferrito.
See. Jamie McMillan has a lot of upside, I think, to push up. We certainly see him do rolls through the midfield, whether it be tagging or whatnot. So I like his upside. 28, we've got the draft doctor's favourite, Tommy Cutts. 29, I've got Jack Martin. Don't love it. Doesn't find the ball as much as I'd like, but he had some big games.
Mm.
So
do you think if KK's fit and firing, that helps Jack Martin?
I don't know what helps Jack Martin.
Mm.
Finding
body mass?
Finding more ball? That'd help him? No, look, I think if you're... Look, he's obviously a highly rated junior, so that goes a long way. He did have some big games.
He did.
And when you're getting into this range, this is my sixth tier of defenders.
Wow. I never knew you went that far.
Well, he's only my 29th defender off the board. So, you know, when you're getting into this range... You look for upside more than stability, I think. I mean, yep. I could go choose, you know, your Matty Broadbent. Yeah, exactly.
Brody Smith.
Anyway, number 30, I've got Josh Smith from Collingwood. Now, Josh Smith is someone I really want to talk about because I think Josh Smith is a huge upside pick. We don't know how the landscape of Collingwood's defense, midfield, slash whatever the hell they want to call it, looks like. But this is a man who's been upgraded. in front of a guy they probably needed to upgrade in Mason Cox. Okay, we're talking about an absolute ball magnet. He came in as a 21-year-old from Queensland, played the 18 games last year, averaged 76. Now, towards the end of the season, this guy was starting to rack up 90% game time.
That's huge.
So he was really starting to get on the park. He had a couple of huge games for Dream Team scoring purposes, 128 and 131, 35 possessions in one game. Nice. You tell me how many defenders are going to find that sort of pill.
Not many.
Not many. Okay. So he's earned the time on ground. They've moved on from Marley Williams. Ben Sinclair needs to get a high five and he gets concussed. That's well, it's not funny. I kind of feel sorry for Ben Clear, but I feel they've invested. So if you upgrade someone, you invest in them.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And look, this guy's a ball magnet. Over the preseason, look, this is why they have the JLT and why it's a speculative draft pick.
It's all early. This ain't the final ranks. It's version one. So
this is version one, people. But I think there's a lot of upside. There is not many defenders who can go 130.
Nah.
So I think it's a huge upside pick. You won't need to take him till late in your draft. People will be picking up
Hodge, Gibson, those sorts of
things. Oh, I just mean even guys lesser rated. Like Alex Rance, not a great Dream Team performer.
No, he's
they not. Will pick him up before Josh Smith.
Yep.
So I think the upside is there. And that's why I've certainly got him there. Whether it happens or not, to be honest, if you're picking him up at the end of the draft,
it's going to cost you nothing.
It doesn't cost you anything to pick him up. It doesn't cost you anything to drop him and pick up James Ash and get 14 points.
But Josh Smith, that's actually quite interesting. Obviously, his NEFL record was quite outstanding. And it's good to see he's backed it up with a bit of sampling in the AFL model. Obviously, for most other formats, he isn't that relevant. But certainly for draft, he certainly could be.
And did you have any players who just didn't make the cut?
Yeah, look, there was a lot of players who didn't make the cut. And there was a lot of players who didn't have upside.
Yep.
Like, I guess a prominent name, and we've spoken about him off air, is Matty Broadbent. He's fine. Look, if you want to pick him up, he's fine.
He'll get to that solid 80-ish, 85, 84.
Yeah, he'll get you what he gets you, and he won't do anything more. But one guy I wanted to mention just quickly is Zach Jones.
The forgotten man.
Sorry?
Forgotten man.
Look, he found his way into the team last year. He's been at a really powerful club. He's a guy who I think has potential to play on the wing at Sydney, which potentially leads to plus 80 average and points. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying the potential is there. And he is certainly a guy, if I was willing to fill out my bench with a defender who had some serious upside, he is a man who I would genuinely consider.
But now we're going to move on to the Supercoach rankings. Obviously a little bit different to Steve because of the scoring format, but starting off with the top 10, I've got Sam Doherty, then Heath Shaw, Rory Laird, Alex Rance. Obviously, Steve alluded to before, Alex Rance is no good for Dream Team, but Rance takes those intercept marks, starts the rebounding 50s for the Tigers. He's fantasy gold for Supercoach. Taylor Adams in at number 5, as we've been speculating a little bit on the show. If he plays in the guts, then he's got that chance to go over 100 like he has in Dream Team. Man, these next two picks, they just burn me. I've got Cade Simpson and Lee Montagna coming in next. Cade Simpson for me, as Steve said, went career year, especially in Supercoach this year. It was up by 11 points. He's around that 95 average in Supercoach as well. Again, I agree with Steve. A solid 95 in Supercoach. That is our gold for any D1 for me. Got Basher Hooley in at number 8. Again, he only played the 12 games in 2016 due to the injury, but he's gone 95 before. And I was having a look when he was out or Rance was out, both their scores were affected. So if both of these guys can stay on the park and they dish the ball off to each other, because you get points for dinky little 1-2 handballs here in Supercoach, that's going to help his average get back up to 95. And I do see Richmond using him now that Yaron no longer in the team. Number 9 for me, Jason Johannesson. Probably would have been higher for me if he didn't have that injury last year. And number 10, which I'm going to talk about now, Hamish Hartlett. He's got the DPP. Was playing the plus one for Port Adelaide, and it didn't work. It did not work. His score suffered horrendously when he went back there. But I think it might have been out of necessity because all their defenders went down. For Port Adelaide to get back at the ladder, he has to be in that midfield, especially when you've got your guys like your Pittards, your Trengoves, your Broadbent's back, coming back there. Hartlett's in the midfield for me.
Yeah, look, I have Hartlett rated in my top 10 as well, Jono. I'm like you. I think we saw the move where they pulled Trengove into the ruck and Hartlett went back. And then he cracked the sads over the off season.
We got the trade-off.
And now this is what terrifies me, because we've done these rankings. They're saying Trengove's going to play forward.
I did not see that
this
one.
This was today.
I did not see that one.
And I just about had a hernia or something, and what the hell?
So what? I've just lost all words in that one.
No, that's not happening, surely.
You wouldn't have thought so, but...
Big Charlie Dixon, what's he, full back now, is he?
Pre-season's just a terrible time for everyone.
But a lot of upside for there for Hamish Hartlett. He's gone 100 before in Supercoach. Quite happy to have him as my number one.
The game's history is a bit of a worry, I guess. And that's why he's probably not higher on the list.
That's true. Excuse me. Starting off in my second lot of 10, I've got Matthew Boyd at number 11. He's been a fantastic scorer in Supercoach and Dream Team, but it's just going to be the games played for me. If I'm going to pick a D1, I want them playing close to that 22 games mark, not 17 or 18, which it hurts. It hurts. And we do know Matthew Boyd does miss one or two through a,
The management.
So just, I'm happy as I'm a second pick for me. Bernie Vince coming in at number 12 for me. Loving Bernie Vince. I think he gets back into the midfield, especially with Dom Tyson out injured. Coming in at 14 for me is Tom McDonald. We know he's gone big before. That defence, especially with Hibbert in the team, is looking really solid. Like him and Oscar McDonald as well were really solid.
Had a big second half as well, Charlie.
Yep. After the bye, I lost my notes on it, but he... Just about 100 in every game. And he got a massive ceiling too, but just hopefully old Goodwin doesn't put him forward because he's hopeless.
Well, they've got three amazing key forwards in Sam Weedman, Jack Watson...
And Tainted.
Some other bloke.
Tainted?
I forget his name.
15 for me is Dane Rampey. I love a guy who intercept marks.
And
gets on the darts.
Smoke sticks.
Smoking Dane. If I could pick him up in my Supercoach team, I'd be getting Aaron Finch and Jack Wilshere.
Boom.
Love a guy, intercept marks. That's Dane Rampey. No one's going to tag him. Happy I have a D2. Slight bit of upside. Could see him going to a 90 average this year. Jake Lloyd playing on the wing. He's just going to rack him up the way Sydney's game style is. Zach Williams. Coming in next for me, watched Zach in the prelim final last year. He was the go-to guy. The way GWS had set up, they'd have two or three guys just loose on a wing, and he would be the switch guy to kick it to those loose guys where they'd run it inside 50. If you're a guy who starts the chain in Supercoach, that's big points for you, and Zach Williams was the guy to do that. And next for me is KK. We know last year he was playing injured throughout the year and severely hampered his scoring. Are you going to say something, Steve?
Loves a yogurt.
He's now out of my team.
Probiotics. Apparently the probiotics are going to boost his fantasy scoring.
Ah, okay. There you go. A little hint there from Steve.
I don't know. Don't you like yogurt?
I do like yogurt.
What's wrong? Which crossed me off?
Must be the wrong yogurt then.
Yogurt's awesome.
Must have been eating Yogo, not yogurt.
What's wrong with Yogo? Are you hating on Yogo?
I'm not hating on Yogo, but it's not good for an AFL player. Remember the Yogos you could get with the nuts and the chopped chips you could put in?
We said Sigs were good for Dane Rampey.
Yeah, but he's all Australian. When did KK get all Australian?
Apparently Dane Rampey's like an endurance athlete behemoth and just chugs darts.
So he's doing the 3K time trial with a pack of Winnie Blues under his singlet.
Maybe. Remember the club?
Yes. coming in at 18 for me, Jasper Pitta. Safe as houses in Supercoach. Going to get to that 90-odd average each year. Could have been higher, but he could even present some draft value for you because he's an unsexy pick, so could slide even a little bit. Number 19 for me, Jeremy Howe. Can't believe I'm even talking about him. Had a fantastic year when he moved down back for the Pies, even though Buck said he ain't playing defence, but when Charon Goat's down, someone's got to step up. Maybe they could hurt his scoring this year for Howe.
The ghost of Ben Reed.
The ghost of Ben Reed.
He's already in the rehab group.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. And coming in at number 20 for me is Chuck McVeigh. Chuck McVeigh. I found it really hard to rank McVeigh this year, but we know he's gone hundreds before. You've got some quality players in Mills, Lloyd this year. I just think McVeigh's going to have carte blanche just to run around racking up the pill at will, bombing it inside 50, maybe even sneak a goal or two here or there. He's going to be, if he stays on the park, he's going to be a great, great pick there for your team.
Yeah, actually, when I was looking at my rankings over before we started the show, I really started to think maybe I should be putting McVeigh higher because we know he's been such a fantastic player over the journey, and it's easy, Jono, to buy into the narrative.
It is.
That people are old and they're slow. But what we forget is they missed a preseason.
The year before.
They had injuries. And then once they got going, they were all right. So I'm kind of thinking that, again, I don't have McVeigh as high as you do. But I kind of wonder if McVeigh's going to present a great deal of draft value.
No, he won't. The reason why he was injured, because he was old and slow.
Coming in at number 21 for me is my boy. Moved down the highway down to Geelong. That's Zach Tui. So we actually had some questions.
Did you create fake accounts to send us in questions about Zach Tui?
Yes.
You have a lot of man love for Zach Tui.
I have a lot of man love for Zach Tui.
I don't understand it.
We had a question from BangersMash85. He goes, thoughts on who fills the voids at the Cats, left by Enright and in part Bartel?
Jackson Thurlow.
There is Jackson Thurlow, but there's a reason why the Cats went out and got Zach Tui. That is to fill the Corey Enright role. They're the same height, the same weight. He's got a great kick on him, Zach Tui. He's going to be the rebounding defender, a la Enright. Don't give me that crap about Thurlow. No one likes Thurlow. Zach Tui.
At least Thurlow can find the footy. I mean, Zach Tui has not got a scoring history whatsoever, so he's not going to fill up Enright and Bartel scoring.
Well, it's possible if he shares it with Guthrie as well. They're the main two that become the 1-2 punch there.
Thurlow?
Not all about Thurlow.
My problem with Zach Tui is, I don't mind Zach Tui, and we've certainly...
And look, you've got to be a third defender.
That's the problem, is that's too rich for me.
Too rich for you?
Is we've used him as a streamer before.
Streamed me pretty well last year.
No, he streamed well, and that's fine.
He's more your super coach than a dream team, that's for sure.
Yeah, but we knew the matchups. We knew the matchups, and he was fine for the matchups. But my problem is people go, oh, he's going to take the Corey Enright role. He's going to take the Jimmy Bartel role.
He won't take the Bartel role.
Mate, these are two of the best players we've seen in the AFL in the last 20 years.
I'm not saying Tui's going to average 105.
Yeah, but when did Corey Enright ever...
He never did.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say he's going to average 95, but if he gets a 90 average, I know it's a big jump, but it's possible.
I don't see it. They've had Jackson Thurlow waiting in the wings. They've used him 2 years ago. Who was the guy who did the kick-ins?
Thurlow.
Jackson Thurlow. Exactly. They trust him. You don't give that to someone who you don't trust. Like, and I understand...
Didn't Sydney give that to Aldera Lear? They did.
Hey, you're only as good as your last game. How'd that go for Sydney?
Not great.
Not great. All right. So look, what I'm saying is, I feel it's a bit rich. I feel it's a bit...
You think I'm reaching?
I think you're definitely reaching.
I've got my Zach Tui love.
Hey, look, if you want to have Zach Tui there, that's fine. But what position, what draft range? Was it 20?
21 I've got him.
21.
Third, D3.
But you won't have to draft him there.
Maybe, maybe not.
You'll get him two rounds...
You reckon I'll get him in the 50s?
What's a D3? Was it what's that, pick 110 off the top of my head? Something like that?
Yeah.
I reckon you get him 30 picks later.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Write it down, people. We'll see. Well, I won't pick him out of spite just to win a bet, but...
Actually. Oh, but I think it's too much.
We'll see. Again, this is version one of our ranking, so we'll wait till the JLT.
It could sit... Hey, look, he could be the main man, and I could be completely wrong.
But until then...
The draft value is draft value.
That's true. What am I doing? Number 22, Grant Birchall for the Hawks. Safe as houses pick. Love Grant Birchall. Very underrated, too. I mean, you're going to get him.
I remember I got laughed at for picking Grant Birchall last year.
Did you?
In our
League of Records.
League of Record. How'd that work out?
Where'd he go?
81, the guy who laughed at me. But I did pretty well.
As well as picking Broadbent in our Listener League?
I made the finals. How'd you go, buddy?
I won the... I think I came runners-up in the consolation prize.
Broadbent, yeah.
I've got Michael Hurley in here. It's too hard to ignore. I mean, All-Australian, 95 average before the suspensions. I mean, he's playing defence. He's not going to be running around too much, so his tank doesn't need to be that big.
Does well in defence.
Does very well in defence. Again, he could go lower. It's a wait and see for me, but I still like him as a D3. Very good there. Who have we got there? Robbie Tarrant for me at 24. A lot of upside to this guy. He's got a great ceiling. Finish off the year well. Again, they've had the clean out of the North Melbourne defenders. He'll be the man alongside his mate Jamie McMillan, which I've gotten a couple of picks. I've only put this guy in because of Steve. No, I haven't. Sean Burgoyne for me, number 25. But for Sean Burgoyne, I have a big orange light on. I just have a feeling with the Hawks' defence, where he's going to play and not in the midfield, they're just going to struggle this year. They're just going to get scored on at will. Burgoyne, the whole defence is just going to fall off the cliff. Wrong words. They're going to have a backwards year, if that makes sense. So they all take a step back as a team. Because you've got a lot of personnel coming into the team, O'Meara, Mitchell's, and all that. So they're going to take a time to adjust. And then next year, they're not going to be there. So it's just draft with caution on that one.
Do you know last year he averaged higher than the 13 blokes in front of him?
He averaged 94 in Supercoach. I know that. But still, it's not a stats pick. It's just a gut feel pick about the Hawks this year. I just think...
Hey, Statesman, do you ever notice how when Jono can't quantify things, he just goes, gut feel?
Now that's what happens when you get close to the 100 club, mate.
he doesn't eat avocado.
It's the devil's food.
He eats terrible, terrible mincey products. I think your gut is not to be trusted.
That's what Mrs. Crockett says.
She spent 4 weeks with you in Vietnam, buddy.
Yeah. My next pick is Jamie McMillan. Like Steve says, this guy's got a lot of upside, has pushed up into the midfield before. Only scored the 80 last year, but I can see that going back up.
Number of roles.
Next for me is Josh Gibson.
One of your boys.
Yeah. Hey, Burnman. I actually see him. Like last year, he looked cooked to me. Again, draft with caution. He gets tagged out of the games. He just looked like the game had gone past him. A bit like some of the old blokes you see sometimes. Probably his last year. Draft with caution. Number 28 for me is Luke Hodge. Been a fantastic scorer for years. He's not the captain anymore. Averages 88. Number of games played, people. He hasn't played 22 games in about 6 years, so he's belting blokes, he's getting on the terps again.
I draft him. Put him in Smoking Dave.
Smoking Dave, all right. He's, Matty Yench ain't playing anymore. 29 for me, Michael Hibbard. Not too sure what his role's going to be like at the D, so just a wait and see. And coming in at number 30 for me is Callum Mills. This kid's going to be a star and might not get him as my D3, but certainly going to give you a lot of upside when you pick him. Over to you, Statesman, in your keeper rankings.
Yes, most certainly. For those that are listening for the first time, I base the keeper rankings on facts and figures. It's a formula that I've set up and been working on for about 14 months. It basically calculates their age, their average in Dream Team scoring over the past 2 years, their total number of games over the past two seasons, a potential peak average for those that are young and developing players. For example, like a KK might have an increase of 12 points in his scoring future. Then one of the most critical ones, which is points per minute, that I think is extremely important, and that gives them an overall ranking. One thing it doesn't cover is Jono's gut feel. This is based on facts and figures, whether we like them or not. This is where the data actually lands them. And one other thing it doesn't cover is, of course, positional change or role change. So number one is Taylor Adams, but there is a warning with that. We're saying that it's a highly chance that he'll be back to being a midfield only somewhere along his career. So if you're starting a keeper league, probably don't expect Taylor Adams to be your number one defender for the next 5 or 6 years. I think it's more likely that he'll be, you know, your ranked 20 to 30 midfielder. So quickly going through the top 10, Taylor Adams, Sam Doherty, Rory Laird, JJ, KK, Heath Shaw, which amazing, a 31-year-old still ranked in the top six, Jake Lloyd, Matthew Boyd, Lee Montagna, Basha Hooley rounds out the top three. The big mover in from what the other rankings were was KK making the top five, and obviously he has a little bonus with the potential peak average, which takes him from 10th up to 5th. The next 10, Callum Mills, huge potential there, but again, a warning, there's a fair chance that Callum Mills becomes a midfielder in due course. The interesting part is, when is that going to happen, and how many players are going to be through that midfield rotation for the Sydney Swans? You won't be pushing Dan Hand, Luke Parker, Isaac Heaney out of that in quick fashion. But then you look at JPK, who's 28 years of age, then maybe he starts rotating out of that in the next 12 to 18 months. And of course, I think you find Kieran Jack is actually going to be a role player rather than through the midfield rotation from here on in. So Callum Mills, somewhere along the line, does have that risk. Hamish Hartlett, another one that has the risk becoming a midfielder at 12. Zach Williams, Bernie Vince, Luke Hodge, Cade Simpson. You see a few of the older players there, which means there is a bit of a concern of how much talent, young talent, are going through that are going to be long-term defenders. Michael Hibbard, Jasper Pittard, Brody Smith, who I'm not as down as you gentlemen are. I think he is going to be a long-term defender and a good point scorer. And Matthew Broadbent, nothing majorly flashy, but he, for a long-term keeper option, he's actually a reasonably solid D2 or 3. Then the last 10, Jack Barton, Grant Birchall, Shane Biggs, bit of a concern how long he keeps his role, Matthew Suckling, Jeremy Howe, Tommy Cutler, who I'm very high on. I think he's got some huge potential. Ball Magnet as a junior. He can play a bit of that half-back role as well as on the wing, so he can play several roles. Shane Savage, Hayden Crozier, another player I'm quite high on, although I don't know whether he's going to turn into a half-forward flank rather than a half-back flank. Alex Rance and Ricky Henderson rounds out the top 30. Any questions regarding those top 30 for the keeper?
Jack Martin, do you see him retaining defence status for a long time, or would you see him eventually getting mid potentially?
Yeah, he looks like a mid forward, doesn't he?
But yeah.
He's found a role there. The problem with Gold Coast right now is that they have a lot of these highly talented players that could play a lot of different roles. The only one I'm really assured on is KK. I think he's going to be a true halfback flanker. He uses the footy really well. He can zone off as well as play defensive roles, which got him caught up a little bit last year. But I think he's the long-term defender. I think your question and query on what's going to happen with Jack Martin is a fair question.
Yeah, I would agree with Keller Jasny. He seems like the natural defender, but Callum Mills, he seems like the sort of guy, you say he moves into the midfield, he seems like the kind of guy who I'd want to keep as a midfielder, because some years he's going to be a midfielder and other years he's going to be a defender midfielder, much like Jared McVay was. And I think that provides a lot of value. What would you say to that?
Yeah, Goddard, Dids and McVay are very similar. Those sort of three players. And Callum Mills, I think, he became a leader in the defensive zone for Sydney in his first year of footy, and that's because he could read the play really well, construct really well, and that's really important to have good leadership down back. And he uses the footy so well, he might find, like Sam Doherty, to end up being a full-time sort of half-back flanker. And I don't think it's the worst thing Sydney could do. Hard to tell, but when you've got true quality, you'd love to have him in three or four different positions, and it's going to be up to the coach.
Yeah, I guess not every team has the luxury that the AFL handballs them in open space that the Sydney Swans do. Matthew Broadbent 20, man. You knew it was coming. I mean, let's go, buddy.
Yep.
Let's go. We're ready to go.
I responded to you to just say, look, he's just solid as a rock.
The people need to know. That's the people.
That's it.
As I was saying, this is not Jono's gut feel. This is just the data. And the last 2 years, he's averaged 78 and 79. Is that consistent? Last year, he only turned up once. Only turned up once. But what that's saying, if you're averaging around that 80 mark and you've only turned up once, is you're just consistently delivering week in, week out. And I don't think that's a bad thing in your defence. If you've got two or three sitting underneath a Sam Doherty that are just pumping you out 80 points per round in a keeper league, you're quite happy with that. It's the ones that, like Yo-Yo, that give you a 121 week and 30 the next that annoy you. Matthew Broadbent, yes, no thrills, but he's going to play the majority of the games. His point per minute is reasonably solid, and he's going to give you your 80 points.
See, I completely disagree. I don't think it's good enough. He gave you 4 weeks inside the top 20 defenders. Half his games, he finished outside the top 50 defenders for the league. Yep. You've got him rated as a top 20 defender by the formula. So there's no emotions attached to that. So let's say.
Yep, none.
But
I mean, if Cutler and him were both available and it was my next pick, Cutler comes in at 26. I'll be picking Cutler.
But the data
says he's 20.
So that's my point, is that if you've got him rated 20 and I'm keeping 10 players, the numbers would say I should probably keep him, although he'd be on the periphery. Correct. The periphery.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I couldn't keep someone who I could replace half the time.
And it goes back to the tips and tricks that you mentioned at the beginning of the year, is back your own judgment. So would I keep Matthew Broadbent? No, but if he ends up in my defence, I'm not going to be complaining too much, because I know what he's going to give me. And yes, very vanilla.
And that's the thing, is like I feel like I'd throw him back at the expense of, well, I mean, a draft pick. I mean, if that's what I could have. I mean, whatever. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Would you pick Shane Savage ahead of him?
No, of course not, because I think Shane Savage is trash. And yep. I'm not... Well, I shouldn't say trash. I mean, that's rough. I'm not
trash in fantasy terms.
I think this year Shane Savage is going to be really poor, and I wouldn't keep him. But I wouldn't keep any of these guys other than I'd keep Birchall, I'd keep Martin, and that's probably it, to be honest.
No interest in here.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't think there's a lot of depth in that defensive group. And KK, who delivered a 72 this year, gets in the top five.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. I would absolutely keep KK, and he'd be one of my first kept every year, you know, because we know he's going to be a defender every single year.
That's it.
There's no chance he's moving to the midfield. I don't see that happening.
And to be quite honest with you, if I had the choice now and had this group here, who would I keep? Long-term for defenders would be Doherty, Laird, JJ, KK, and Callum Mills.
Yep. Yeah, so I know you're working off a formula, Statesman. Statesman's working off a very strict formula, and emotion doesn't tie into it. So,
and sometimes you can't bring that into drafting.
And sometimes you just want to take a vomit bag and just go, no.
No.
Exactly. I mean, it must blow you away that Cade Simpson's above Jasper Pitta. That's got to hurt.
Yeah. No, there's quite a few that hurt it. Look at that going, no freaking way. But that's why it was important to do, because it's fine for us to all have our thoughts. And I mean, we're going to do forwards next week. And, you know, Isaac Smith's a lot higher than what I rate him at. But I also rate him that he's a bit like Taylor Adams, where he's going to be a midfielder for a keeper league long term. He's not going to be a forward. I think that's a 1 year thing. But the reality is, once you get the data doesn't lie. So it's good to have that perspective when you're going the 50-50 argument on your share two. If the data's ahead on one of those, that's the one you've got to pick.
Sure.
Yeah. That'd be a pretty boring show if we all agreed on the same things now, wouldn't it?
Well, I remember that Simpsons where Pierce Brosnan was the computer house they lived in. That feels like Matthew. That feels like Steve. It's like where we're at there. Oh, anyway.
Question, Steve.
We've got some questions, people, from the... terrible answered question. I'm going to throw it to the Statesman, because Jono has no idea about what's going on at the Cats. From @bangers_mash85. Thoughts on who fills the void of the Cats? Left by...
I think we've already answered that.
In part.
Already answered. Jackson Phil.
There you go, Jackson Taylor.
And in part, Bartel, we didn't answer that. No, wait, I just think that's Cam Guthrie.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
From the AFL Dynasty Forum, do you see Jake Lloyd sustaining, dropping, or jumping into premium status?
Certainly jumps, whether it's primo status, not this year.
Statesman, give us a call.
It's a rotation thing, and he's going to be part of the rotation. I don't know if he's going to retain his defence, but again, there's only so many you can fit in the midfield there. I think he's going to be a solid scorer and probably stay around the mark he is. So I think he'll be maintaining.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, if I read these numbers out to you though, boys, in the last 66 home and away games, he's played 60. 86 average last year. 3 tons in the last 4 home and away games last year, including a 131.
But remember who Sydney played in that last game?
No.
They depleted. Was it Richmond? And they turn up.
These are the numbers.
Okay.
Plonk him on a wing, he should score pretty well.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's hard to break into that Sydney team, and he's done it, and he scored well.
Move your gut out of the way. We're talking figures.
That's a lot to move. No one's got the sort of time. From @Seeker Supercoach, is Hurley worth selecting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where you pick him? Like, I had him... Where did I have him? 23 in Supercoach. We know he's a scorer, especially in the Supercoach format where he's gone 95 before. So certainly, I'd pick him up.
Not in Dream Team. Is he injured?
No.
I know there's a couple of...
That was Michael Hartley and... can't think of the other guy's name. But it wasn't Hurley.
I'd have no problem picking him late. I think he's fine. He's certainly shown the ability to score well. We know his scores suffered when he played forward.
Yep.
And I don't think they have any reason to play him forward anymore.
No, a bloke by the name of Danaher has got that spot down.
Does he ever?
That wraps up the show for this week. Thanks everyone for listening. Please, if you would like to, head over to social media and follow us. You can do that by heading over to Twitter, where we are @TheDraftDoctors, or at Statesman33, or you can head over to Facebook where you just search in The Draft Doctors, or just drop us an email at thedraftdoctors@gmail.com. Hit the iTunes, hit the 5 stars, hit the reviews. Stitcher, we've just found out, do reviews, so drop them on there as well. Next week we are talking forward rankings. That is going to be one hell of an interesting show.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.